government. The facts show that the United States does not have a president or a vice president, as both have been executed for treason. It has no Secretary of Defense. It has no Secretary of State. And there are many other secretaries of major departments, such as Agriculture, Veterans Affairs, and other ones that have been executed for treason. All of these were for treason. And that the ones that are dressed up to look like the original characters are really puppets being handled by a group of individuals that were not elected, but are backed by the money interests that want certain things to go their way. The one individual that is very capable, of course, is the prior one that was living in the White House. And he is in control of the military that are handling all of the tribunals, which is bringing to trial the swamp creatures. But there are some limitations that he is confined with, because he is more effective if he stays in the background at this juncture. And so there are some things that he is not able to do and still stay in the background. The biggest public step he has taken has been just in the last few days, where he recommended that the willing states who want to support Texas in the battle in Texas for the border, stopping the tens of thousands, which has now gotten up to some 22 million illegal immigrants in the U.S. over the years, and a very significant amount have come across in the last 3 years because it's been an open border. While the former president doesn't have total control, he has been very effective at draining the swamp through the military tribunals. But it appears that it is a very important time to review exactly what is government and who is really in control of government. Who is the governor? What has the power to do anything? And what should be done? And what should not be done? Because it may be needed to be done, but it's premature, because the public needs to be aware of the problem before it really can be solved, if there is need for public support, which there should be on every major activity. The ones who are unelected, that are the handlers of the actors that are playing the part, have an insatiable desire to control everyone. And they are trying to figure out how they can implement another pandemic with mask-wearing mandates from the government, all of which are illegal, because they are aware that there's a tremendous resistance to going through that process again, like they did for a two-year period after the prior president left the White House. Also, they would love to be setting off some nuclear weapons, but the codes to the nuclear system are maintained by the military, who are pro-America and are not about to give any authority or devices to a fake government because they can't be trusted and they're totally incompetent. So it becomes very obvious that having a concept of government which is correct is not only good, but absolutely necessary. In fact, it's really necessary all the time. This is one of the topics that should be included in the daily prayer of which Mary Baker Eddy and Daniel from the Bible prayed three times a day, a universal prayer to cover all mankind should include government on a universal generic basis and also specifically on supporting America. America is considered the most free country in the world, although that probably is not true, because it is basically operated by unelected officials who have an agenda that is totally against the freedoms of Americans that were supposed to be guaranteed in the first Constitution, which of course has been replaced by another Constitution which removed much of those freedoms. Government on a universal basis and government specifically for America, both are important topics to cover in daily prayer. It is suggested that the three quotes at the beginning of the textbook always be used to open up a treatment, because that is really the foundation that Mary Baker Eddy gives us as an introduction to Christian Science. It states, number one, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's from Jesus, quoted by John in chapter 8. Number two is from Shakespeare, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And number three is by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. So that sets the stage for exactly what we should be praying about automatically, every day. We have to understand the truth. And if we do, it will set us free. And how do we do that? We have to feed it to our thought from the formula that Shakespeare gives us. Nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We have to put the thought into our consciousness about the goodness of truth, the effectiveness of truth, the permanence of truth, the universal nature of it, the omnipresence of it, which is basically the universal nature, the wisdom of it, the intelligence of it, the knowing of it. We have to know we are conscious of it. That's basically one of the key features of truth, is knowing that we are always conscious of the truth. So no matter whether we are just doing our typical studying or whether we happen to see an accident or whether something else comes up unexpectedly that we are facing, we need to make sure that we can focus. We need to practice focusing, no matter what kind of disruption tries to upset the apple cart. The definition of God, as provided on page 465, is that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. If we want to think about governing, we cannot leave out the function of mind. If we want to think about government, we have to remember about principle. Mind is the action word, but principle is the object of the action. One of the qualities of mind is omniscience, and omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Omni is the operative word in terms of the quantity, because that means there is no other. There is no competition or opposition to whatever God is, because God is the one, only, and all of everything that is real. If things seem to be chaotic, which means that principle is not being fulfilled in its normal function in whatever activity seems to be trying to gain our attention and is therefore a distraction away from the balance and harmony that is normal to principle, then we must go to the source of the action. And we must think about the only action is the action of mind. Mind is power, and power, of course, is the result of performance, and performance is the result of creative activity combined with capacity, functionality, capability, facility, and things along that line. So we have to know, we have to repeat to ourselves the fact that there is no accident in divine mind. That's the denial. And God is the only power, because God is omnipotent. God is infinite, therefore the power of God is without limit. So there is nothing that is impossible. Everything is possible to God. This is one of the ideas that Mr. Rawson, a great practitioner, probably one of the greatest since Mary Baker Eddy, that's one of the key thoughts that he uses when he was able to overcome the sense of time in treating retroactively, whereby the treatment began taking effect not when he was received notification that somebody was asking for his help, but when they actually had made the decision to get his help, to utilize his services. It started at that moment. The effectiveness of the treatment was started before he was notified. In Genesis, it says we have to let. 7 times it says that. Genesis 1. We have to let this and we have to let that. And after we let, then God did his work of creating. Jesus could not heal in Galilee. Very little did he heal in Galilee, because everybody was against letting him into their thought. They were resisting the possibility that someone that they thought of as a boy, or even when he was growing up as a carpenter, that he would have any opportunity or ability to actually bring about a healing to him. As a result, he left. He left Galilee and he went to another area. We have to let God into our consciousness. We have to let the truth be effective to us. And we can't do it if we have resistance to it. We have to convince ourselves that God is the only truth, and truth is the only healer, and mind is the only medicine. Because mind is the action, and it brings about the recognition that perfection is already in place. That's what the truth is. We're uncovering the truth about whatever we are faced with. We have to translate what is apparent from a physical or visible standpoint to the truth about what is always true about God. God is not an imperfect God. God didn't create an imperfect child, which is us. We're the children of God. Everything was already true. God didn't have to create anything, except God had to create our recognition that it was true, always true, is true, always will be true. Because in essence, as Mr. Rawson proved, there is no time. We have to repeat to ourselves that there is nothing impossible to God. Everything is possible to God. Whatever our problem that we seem to be facing right now, it is not outside the authority or the power of the one and only power, the one and only authority, the one and only director, the one and only governor, which is God. On 587 in the glossary, Mary Baker Eddy defines God as the great I am. In other words, everything that is that we say, I am this or I am that, or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, we should substitute the word God. Because God is the only authority. God is the only power. God is the only doer. God is the only action. God is where the perfection is. We are merely revealing God's perfection as the source of our own perfection. We own nothing. We are nothing. Everything is God. In fact, Mr. Rawson had an instantaneous healing just by saying those five words. There is nothing but God. Now, he obviously understood them very thoroughly, and he was saying it only to remind anyone that is looking on that that's exactly what the truth is about the situation he was dealing with at that time. There is nothing but God. That means there is no governor except God. There is no government except the government of God. God is divine principle, which is always harmonious. It is always in balance. It's not one that accepts a border that is made out of wire or concrete or whatever as being the real border. Because the real border is in consciousness. We have to know that our border is protected by its substance, which is spirit. And that, of course, is God. God in action. Spirit is defined as being flawless, as transparent, and therefore reflection. So anything that we are thinking along on a spiritual line reflects out into the universal thought. That's why Jesus was able to actually tune in and communicate with the people he communicated with when he went up on the mount. When he asked John and Peter and James to watch, he wanted them to watch their thought. He wanted them to watch over a world that needed spiritual discipline, spiritual enlightenment. But unfortunately, they didn't get the idea, and they fell victim to a heavy sleep, and they went to sleep. At that moment, they were all traitors. John came out of it, ended up going to the island of Patmos after he survived being put in a pot of boiling water, or boiling oil, I guess it was. And he was then the communicator from Jesus to the world for the book of Revelation. We have to focus on the real governor. we have to keep reading about the qualities of God as divine principle, as the governor or the government, and about God being divine mind as the governor, the one that has all the action, the one that is the source of everything, the one is the that is the primal cause, which means the first, that's the root, that's the beginning of everything. And that's exactly what Jesus represented when he was at one with the Christ in his thought. The Christ consciousness, the consciousness of God being the one and only governor. That enabled him to perform the healings. The healings were really performed by truth, and mind was the medicine, but he was the catalyst. He was the communicator. He was the one that was the symbol of doing what should be done, of doing what everyone should be doing. We all have that capability. Anything that Jesus performed, or any of the other Bible characters that were considered miracles, were not miracles at all, but only scientific understanding at work. Mary Baker Eddy stated that Jesus was the most scientific man. Einstein stated that Christian Science is effective if we follow it scientifically and systematically. On 146, Mary Baker Eddy talks about the system of divine metaphysics is reduced to a system. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, is what she says on page 146. We don't have to wait for it to come about in the future. All we need to do is open our thought and let the system work for us by guiding us to the principles that have been outlined by the advanced students who discovered it. The most advanced is Rolf Witzke. He moved from Germany to Canada as a young boy with his family. And he took whatever had been discovered from before and expanded on it. Or actually, I think he said he started from scratch, but the first part was also discovered by the Dorley Group in England. But he came up with different diagrams. For example, the position of the chapters of Science and Health. He started in a totally different place than did the people from the UK. I personally think that Rolf was the correct one, because I don't think that it's strategically logical that Mary Baker Eddy would have started at the highest level in her first chapter, which is entitled Prayer. I think there's so much misunderstanding about what prayer is about that she had to start at the lowest level so she could talk to everyone on their level. And therefore, the chapter on prayer by Mr. Witzke is ranked as being the lowest level of mortal thought, because that's where you have to be in order to meet the problem. And you have to lift it up step by step to higher levels. And so each chapter raised it up one step to the fourth level. That is all explained in diagrams that Mr. Witski offers to the public, and he gave us permission to publish anything that he had discovered on our website. I became personal friends with him, and it was always a pleasure to talk to somebody that was so advanced on the system of Christian Science, because it's my belief that any healing can come about more easily if we understand the system. After all, Mary Baker Eddy says she has reduced divine metaphysics to a system. Imagine trying to work with mathematics, with everyone having their own idea on how to go about getting 2 plus 3 equals 5. That's a fixed fact. 9 plus 8 is 72. Nine times 8 is 72. We all have to have the same facts that we work from in solving a problem. The mathematical tables assure us that if we multiply one number by another, we will get the same answer as if somebody on the other side of the world, or maybe even on another planet, is multiplying those two same numbers and getting the same answer. We can't make much headway in mathematics if we don't use what is already proven to be true. We don't want to try to reinvent the wheel. It took a long time and a lot of thoughtful people to be perseverant in their pursuit of mathematics to come up with everything that they've given us. To start from scratch because we don't trust it is ridiculous, because it can be proven. That's why Mary Baker Eddy reduced the system of divine metaphysics down to a system. She reduced the science of divine metaphysics to a system. Every time you utilize power, it would be good to recognize that that is from God. Mary Baker Eddy says, the good we do and embody is the only power obtainable. Well, the definition of good is spirit, which is the opposite of matter. Matter is what is deemed by most people to be substance. But quantum physics, 40 years after Mary Baker Eddy discovered it, realized that she was right. Because quantum physics indicates that there is no matter, that it is only energy with a high speed of vibration or rotation. And it appears to be opaque, but it's not. We have to keep studying about the synonyms for God and what they mean. And a good way to do that, by the way, is to utilize the book by Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, that is entitled Your Divinity Revealed. That was her last published book. I think it's her finest writing. She overcame the belief of age. She was like 100 years old when she wrote the book. I think it's her greatest writing. There's a chapter on each one of the seven synonymous terms. It should be studied over and over and over, just like science and health. We don't just read something that is a pre-selected verse here and there, or a paragraph or a sentence. That's all we do if we just follow the Bible lesson sermon. In fact, in today's age, they don't even follow what Mary Baker Eddy gave them as a procedure. There were supposed to be 6 sections. They put in whatever number of sections they want. See, they don't get consistent results because they don't follow the leader. They're trying to reinvent the wheel. And also, they try to control everyone. Mary Baker Eddy detached the Mother Church from all of the branches while she was here. She changed the symbols on the Sentinel, where she had the branches all connected to the Mother Church and the symbolism on the cover. And then she showed them detached. In fact, there's a book written, The Detached Branch, by one of the advanced students of Mary Baker Eddy. If we are having a problem with government, or we recognize there's a problem with government, we need to review all of the elements that make up government. And some of them have been mentioned already. Certainly we want an intelligent government. We want people that are making the decisions to be informed, be knowledgeable, knowing. And we want them to make wise decisions. We want them to be honest, which means we want them to be following truth. We want them to be alive and alert, not asleep and passive. That's life. We want them to be looking at the spiritual nature. I mean, that should be our goal. To know that they see the spiritual result of the decisions they're making. We want to make sure that they're following principle, not chaos. We want them to make decisions based on what the truth is, not on who they get the most money from, which unfortunately is the case now. We want everything to be nurtured to fulfillment. That's the motherly quality. That is love, nurturing to fulfillment. We need to be nurturing our understanding of the system a step at a time. Like it says in chapter 14 as the introductory quote. These introductory quotes are really important to understand and really important to review when we're reading anything inside the chapter. Because that is the main purpose of the chapter, which is in a quote. For chapter 14, which is a summary of chapter 1 to 13, recapitulation is the title. The introductory quote says, "For precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." In other words, she's saying, don't try to do everything in one moment. She says, take it all a step at a time. Digest it. Work with it. Don't worry about the fact you can't get everything done in one day, that you can't have a healing that is a big problem that appears that way in one day. She said, work on it a step at a time. Precept upon precept means fact. Work with the facts, line upon line, expand the dimension, don't have tunnel vision, and then accomplish something here and something there, here a little, there a little. It's like the salesman, he keeps putting his prospective deals in the pipeline, and he keeps doing what he's supposed to do to service the customer, answer any questions, do any research they need to have done. And sooner or later, deals are going to come out the other end. Completed, concluded. The sale is made. The delivery is made. The customer is happy. Hopefully he refers other people to you. That's part of the complete cycle. Because you took care of him. Always put the other individual first. We can always take care of ourselves, but we may not always have the opportunity to help others. We cannot accept that there's anything missing from government. Because intelligence enables everything to be done that needs to be done. Unity comes about when we realize we're all brethren. And if we hurt our brother, we're hurting ourselves. Because we're a part of the group. They're not isolated. We're all one. There's a phrase that says, where we go one, we go all. We're all one whether we know it or not. We should make a special effort in everything we do to think about the other person. Negotiating a real estate deal is a good opportunity to do that. What is the other individual in need of? Is it the price? Is it the amount of cash he gets when he closes the deal? Is it the interest rate? Is it whether or not he can get the building permits he needs if he's buying raw land from you? What is his concern? And you need to solve his concern in order to make a good deal. Forget about yourself. Work on the benefits to the other individuals in the transaction. That's what a true negotiator would do. He would find out what their need is and cultivate the things, nurture the things that would bring that to fulfillment. If we're lacking something, what do you think we should be doing? We should be giving. If we're not seeing a good government, what should we be doing? We should be governing ourselves properly. Everything is an individual consciousness. Lack is healed by giving, not by taking. Government is healed by self-government. Mary Baker Eddy says, be a law unto yourself. She doesn't say a law unto someone else. She says, be a law unto yourself. She gives us all kinds of tools. I mean, imagine when she started, she didn't know what God was. That was an unfoldment over many years of serious study and contemplation and listening to the voice of God. She didn't know what God was. It had never been defined in the Bible. It talked about this and that and everything else. But to put it all together in one simple little sentence with only seven words, plus whatever few other words as an introduction. In fact, she uses only really 11 words. Incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite. And then the seven. So that's 11 words altogether. Amazing. All those years, and nobody put it together. Mary Baker Eddy did. I don't know exactly what year that she revealed the entire definition the way it is now. But she's the one we had to wait for. Or we weren't there, but she's the one that gave it to us. And we're so fortunate that we have Christian Science that has already revealed to us so many important things. We can be anywhere and be in trouble. Bicknell Young raised himself from the dead as a result of drowning. He was out there in the water by himself. There wasn't anybody to save him. We have that healing on our website. He was really by himself. It is common to think that Jesus submitted to being on the cross to save our sins for us. Can someone else do something for us, for our own salvation? Everyone has to work out their own salvation. We don't look to someone else to do it. If we're a child, we may have our parent or guardian or babysitter or whoever it is hold our hand if we're a little toddler and don't know how to cross a street that has vehicles on it. So that individual that's responsible for our well-being probably is going to hold our hand to make sure that we cross the street safely. We don't walk out in front of another car, or we don't even try to run across when another car is coming quickly. We all have to work out our own salvation. It says to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. That might mean that we want to fear if we don't do things right. In other words, we want to have so much respect for the truth that we're going to follow it no matter what. We're going to ignore all enticements to go across the line into the den of iniquity. We don't want to get into the swamp. The swamp creatures are many. And they're a lot bigger than we are, and they've got a lot bigger teeth. Like like alligators. Or crocodiles. Nope. We want to stay out of the swamp. We've got to make sure we don't let the swamp get into our consciousness in the beginning. When Bliss Knapp was a young boy, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, he lost his mother, and his dad took him with him because his dad had an appointment with Mary Baker Eddy. By the way, Ira Knapp, Bliss's father, was one of the first lecturers for Mary Baker Eddy. She really realized his spiritual nature. Mary Baker Eddy kind of took Bliss Knapp under her tutelage because her mother had passed on at a premature age. But we all have to work out our own salvation. Our own salvation includes seeing government as being spiritual. Seeing the governing body, Senate, House of Representatives, all the other people involved. We have to see the office as an important office, and we have to protect it with our own treatment. It's better not to think about the people, their names, or what they look like, or anything else. We need to protect the office. Forget the people. We're not trying to protect the people. We want to protect the office. The border situation gives us a very good opportunity to focus on government and governing. It needs our support. Not on a personal level, but on a generic. Mary Baker Eddy said, if we don't do our work, we will go into the longest and darkest period of dark ages the world has ever known. The last one was 1,500 years. The Council of Nicaea was in 325 A.D., and Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science in 1866. So you figure it out. Is that what we want? Or are we going to make the effort right now and every day to get clear in our thought what is the true government that is governing the border, that is governing the immigrants, that is governing the threat of civil war about the border? Not to mention the nuclear war threats. If Ukraine had their way, we'd be in nuclear war a long time ago. We have our work to do. Mary Baker Eddy tells us to do it. She gives us the textbook. And we've got advanced people in Christian Science that have given us the system that she gave us in the textbook that explain it. Give us diagrams so we can see how it all fits together. And if we don't take advantage of it, don't be surprised if we don't slip into a long period of the Dark Ages. Because that's what will happen if enough people don't wake up and do what they should be doing. Remember Shakespeare, nothing is either bad, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Are we going to not do any thinking? Are we not going to do any study? Are we going to be like Richard Strain before he flipped and really got a hold of himself? He came to the end of his rope. He went to a Christian Science friend who was advanced. He says, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope. And she said, how much are you studying? He said, I don't have any time to study. By the time I get this and that and everything else done that I'm responsible for, there's only 6 hours left in the day. And so I sleep. Well, he had to change his plan. She said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, don't expect to get ahead. He made the decision to study 5 hours a day. That only left him 1 hour to sleep. But by the end of the week, his life had already started to turn around, and he was so encouraged that he kept it up. And it wasn't long before things in his schedule got much easier. He got more things done, and he was able to sleep a more normal time. God is all in all. There's no one left out of the kingdom of God except by individual choice. If we don't follow the rules of divine principle, if we don't follow the system of divine metaphysics, if we don't understand and are not interested in learning what God is and what man is, and that man is included in the government of God, if we don't learn the basics, then we're not going to have the benefit. I'm going to give you an example of sealing a treatment, and that's in that document that I mentioned that's available, that gives you definitions and quotations and how to seal a treatment and summaries and so forth, which can be used on every treatment. In this treatment, I'm going to state with conviction that the truth in this treatment is effective. It cannot be diluted. It cannot be deflected. God gives man all capability, capacity, functionality, facility, all the action we need because God is omni-action, all the intelligence we need because God is omni-intelligence and omni-wisdom and omni-knowing. All substance is spirit. So everything about God is of a spiritual nature. Nothing can interfere. There is no such thing as matter or mortal mind. They have no power because they're not spirit. Nothing can block the truth, the power of truth that permeates everything. It never changes. God cannot be stopped. The effectiveness and power of God can't be reversed. And I know this to be true. I know this treatment is effective, and the truth in this treatment will help anyone that listens to it because it is truth. God is all there is, and there is nothing else. Amen.